The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
We've got a complete show featuring nonstop phone calls from you at 312-644-6767. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you aboard. There is a lot to discuss. For example, as we get set for the scouting combine, which takes place in less than 2 weeks, you know, you now have to start putting your list together in regards to free agency, which comes before the draft, as you begin to craft your football team for 2017. And it's obvious, you speak to anybody, they will tell you if you want to be good in the NFL, you have to start at the quarterback position. But the Bears have other needs. So after quarterback, if you had to start ranking the list of the most important positions that the Bears have to take care of for the 2017 offseason, what would they be? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Tom, I'll start with you. Outside of quarterback, because we know that's the most important thing, which direction would you like to see this team go?
You know, it was kind of funny when we started talking about this. I was thinking about plays throughout the season that haunt me the most. And if I think of a couple of them that the season concluded with, I think of the Jordy Nelson catch by Aaron, that the Aaron Rodgers throw over the middle that gave Green Bay an opportunity to come back and win the game at Soldier Field. And I think about the position that was affected by that decision, and it was the safety position, because it's just, you know, and I it's not that I hate or I dislike Adrian Amos or any of the Bears safeties at the HJQ, Harold Jones, Corte, and Deion Bush and stuff. It's just about knowledge at the position and having the instincts to make the right angles of choice to make be defensive against a route. And I think of that one play, and it comes back to haunt me now for years. The safety position, making the right decision for deep middle routes that come back and factor. And then I think of the Minnesota Vikings game when they threw a simple pass out to the left-hand side, Minnesota did, and you had to have an approach by a safety to make the right angle. He made a poor choice, slowed down, let the offensive running back make the right decision, and got into the end zone for a touchdown. So, you know, the safety position has really come back to haunt me, and I need a playmaker there. I need a guy that's going to control the defensive backfield as the cornerback positions continue to develop. I need that interior of the defense, that center field of defensive tackle, middle linebacker, and safety to be the strength of this team going forward. So to me, when I forget about the cornerback position, my first position of need I think about is the safety position. And then if you want to think of what's next for me, as much as I want to think of a player on the offensive side of the ball, if I want to think of a big receiver, I still have faith in Kevin White, Cam Meredith, and these guys. I still have a cornerback in my mind, because I think Jim has the experience of being down at the Senior Bowl. The Bears coaches have the experience of being down at the Senior Bowl. So can you go? Are you willing to? Do you have the benefit to go safety cornerback to see if you can upgrade the Bears' back end of the defense and do it as quickly as possible?
I want to hear Jim's take on this, because you are a former offensive lineman talking about defense, not offense. And Jim, I watched the Atlanta Falcons dismantle the Green Bay Packers, absolutely obliterate this team in the playoffs in a way that we have not seen many teams do to them what the Falcons were able to do. And they did it because they had explosive weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And when I think of what Aaron Rodgers has done over the years to the Bears, is the best way to go about attacking this guy with a better offense than Green Bay puts on the field?
Not if you don't have the right guy pulling the trigger. So that's what I'll say, because Matt Ryan was the MVP of the season. I mean, let's be honest. But, you know, and some offenses can do that because they're geared that way. Obviously, the New Orleans Saints can score a lot of points because they've got the right guy who can pull the trigger, and they're going to get in shootouts every week. They're weak on defense. Same with Atlanta. I think Atlanta, their defense came on strong towards the end, but it really was just outscoring their opponents. The last 7 weeks of the season, they were outpacing their opponents 36.5 points a game. That is ridiculous that you mentioned. But they've got the signal callers that can do it. I'd say that about Tom Brady and other veteran quarterbacks that are out there that can do it. I don't know if the Bears are in that mold. I think they're in a run. They're a run play action team, and we know they can run the ball extremely well, and I think they need to play better defense. And I've said this all the time. If you play great defense and run the football and don't turn it over, you can win a hell of a lot of games in the National Football League. And I that's where I agree with Tom. I'll piggyback off Tom. How about that Colts loss? T.Y. Hilton on the post route, wide open. That's what cost the Bears a victory there. The big play against Green Bay down the stretch. So I'm with Tom. He had 17 turnovers or takeaways in 2 years ago, only 10 last year. You need some difference makers on defense, and it's got to come in the back end of the secondary.
So basically, you want to build the team the way the old San Francisco 49ers under Jim Harbaugh, the defensive coordinator back then was Vic Fangio, where they were loaded with playmakers on defense. And that's the other team that stands out in my mind that has given over the years problems to Aaron Rodgers. When you remember Rodgers taking on those Fangio defenses in San Francisco, especially in the playoffs, he had difficulty beating them.
Right, but you know, I read a comment in the paper the other day where someone said, you know, the Green Bay defense can be built around Clinton Dix. And now you're talking about a defense that has certain personnel like Clay Matthews and other guys on this team that they're talking about building the profile of defense around the safety position. That's within our division. So, you know, that just shows you how important that position can be.
And there are a couple of safeties. Jim, am I right on this? There are a couple of safeties who could potentially end up going in the top 10?
Absolutely. I think I keep on saying Jamal Adams, obviously from LSU. He is highly regarded. And the guy who jumped out at me down at the Senior Bowl was Obi Melifonwu. He is out of Connecticut. I'm not saying he's going to go first round with where he's at, but that guy is legitimately like a Cam Chancellor type of player. He is big, thick. He's not as scared to stick his nose in there. Came up, filled the run. No receiver wanted to block him that I saw down there. And so I think he's got potential to be. You know, you got Jabril Preppers out of University of Michigan. So there are plenty of safeties that will be available in this year's draft. But I would think Adams is really the cream of the crop out of LSU. 6 foot, 211 pounds. He can move. He can run. All those type of things. Melifonwu, you can probably get him in the second round. But safety position has definitely been a problem for the Chicago Bears.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Let's go out to the phones. We'll start in Evanston. Nate, you're on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Howdy. Great show. I love your show. I agree. I was just about to, you mentioned the most important place position other than quarterback is obviously defensive secondary. And this is the perfect draft for that, for the Bears to inject a bunch of talent into their defensive secondary, as clearly that. Other than that, I'd say, you know, offensive tackle. Our interior offensive line looks pretty good, you know, right now on paper, you know, injuries aside. But that would be my next most important position to upgrade.
You know, Nate, that kind of interests me too. As well. I would like to see, you know, because you think of the third pick to start the draft, not a difficult, you know, choice to make because everybody's going to be there. But that third pick in the second round is also a really valuable pick. And what are Bears fans thinking? Where are they thinking in the second round? Because everybody can make their choice in the first round because, like I said, that guy's going to be there. But that guy still may be there early in the second round. And what are Bears fans thinking about that pick?
I'll tell you, listening to both of you guys talk, there's an important decision, and the Bears have until March 1st to make it. It began, the tag period began yesterday, where you can apply the franchise tag on a player. And the most prominent name on the Bears roster that falls into that category would be Alshon Jeffrey, and whether or not the Bears decide to tag him. But based on what you guys are saying, in regards to all the help that the Bears need on the defensive side of the ball, I don't necessarily believe that you can afford to put all that money in at the receiver position with all the other needs that the Bears have on this team.
Well, you know, in terms of Alshon Jeffrey and the franchise tag, both Alshon and the Bears should know whether they want to make a realistic contract opportunity offer to him. And I think both of these decision makers here, the Bears and Alshon, have to make a clear decision there. I don't think franchise, you know, getting him franchised one more year is necessarily going to be the best for the Bears' future, but you know a lot about him. You know a lot about his personality. You know about the way he acts and he participates in meetings and stuff. So I think you have to have a clear decision than franchise for that.
Jim, I'll flip it around. If you're Alshon Jeffrey and you hit the free agent market, you're free. You can go anywhere you want. Isn't it important to know who your quarterback's going to be? And if by the time that he hits free agency, he will likely not know who the Bears quarterback is going to be in 2017. I think that makes it very difficult for him to come back here if he hits the market.
No, it brings you're right. I mean, if he were to go out and test the free agent waters, I mean, if all things are equal, he may want to, you know, return to Chicago. But again, Chicago would have to match any other offer if they don't franchise him. And there probably will be teams that will offer him pretty good money. I don't think he's going to get close to $14, $15 million. What he'd get for, and even if he was tagged, he'd get $17 million. I don't think the Bears are going in that direction. But, you know, do I think he is, you know, a $14, $15 million receiver? I don't think that. I think he's – not that he's going to be humbled in free agency. He may get $9 to $10 million. A year, but with guys out there like DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon that are coming off much bigger years, would be my take than Alshon Jeffrey. You know, the Bears may be able to match the offer, and he could still return to Chicago.
Man, there's so many different ways to go about constructing the 2017 Bears. What are your thoughts? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Mark, you'll be up first when we come back from the break. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. And you guys are next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Tom Thayer is here. So's former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, and you guys can join us at 312-644-6767. We're talking about what's the best way to go about constructing the 2017 Bears this offseason. Obviously, we know quarterback is the number one need, but after that, there are a lot of other things that Ryan Pace and John Fox have to take care of. What direction would you go about fixing this team heading into the 2017 regular season? Out to the phones we go. Mark is on the Eisenhower. Mark, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks, Mark, for taking my call. Let me first start by saying, Tom, you have forgotten more information about offensive line play in the NFL in the last 10 seconds than I'll ever know. But from an idiot's, just a fan's perspective, the way teams pay, the way teams find left tackle is the most important position on the offensive line. If you accept that as the premise, shouldn't the Bears have their best offensive lineman, Kyle Long, playing left tackle, going into the offseason knowing he's going to be playing left tackle, preparing through the offseason, through OTAs, if he's healthy enough, through mini camp, through Bourbonnais, so that he's ready to play left tackle, as opposed to 2 years ago, a week before the season, oh, by the way, Kyle, move on out to play right tackle. If they do that, then you can move either Leno to right guard. You can have Brissou, who was apparently around, at least the last time I heard Dave Magazu on your show, saying that Hronis came to all the meetings. He was getting in good shape. If Brissou could come back, then you can move Cody Whitehair out to right guard. You've got depth on the interior of the offensive line because you still have Sit and you have four guys for three positions, and you have your best offensive lineman playing left tackle, and you don't have to do anything about drafting anybody in the first four rounds on the offensive line. You draft defensive players.
You know, Mark, I like your topic of discussion, but I'll probably take a little bit different direction. Because of the recovery that Kyle Long is going to go through this offseason, I don't know how much OTA and offseason participation he's going to have recovering from ankle surgery and shoulder surgery. And I do think Kyle gives the best opportunity for the Bears offensive line to be successful at the offensive guard position right where he is. He can help out at center. He can help out at right tackle by giving the strength and the size and the competitiveness he has inside. If I was going to take one guy outside of Charles Leno Jr. and play him at left tackle, it would be Cody Whitehair, because he has that experience from college, and I believe Cody Whitehair has the size, the strength, the feet, and the intelligence to play that position out there. I don't necessarily think it's Kyle, because Kyle has less experience at the offensive line than Cody Whitehair does, But I do think, Kyle, when you look at playing against the strong interior defensive tackles, he can match up one-on-one with any of those guys, and he can outstrength them. He can use his athleticism to win the battle. So I like the way you're thinking. I still have faith in Charles Leno Jr. I do want to say that. But if I was going to take a guy off the offensive line, it would probably be Cody Whitehair. And now they signed Eric Kush to a two-year deal, and he gives them depth on the inside at offensive guard, and he has experience at the center position. So when you talk about Hronis, you talk about Eric Kush, you talk about Ted Larson, Josh Sitton, they do have plenty of interior players to work with, including Kyle Long.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he's still beat up right now. I don't think I'm breaking news right now. I saw him down at the Super Bowl, Kyle, because he was there. Obviously, his brother, Chris Long, plays for the New England Patriots. He was still in a walking boot. And then you mentioned the labrum that he's dealing with in his shoulder. That's I've had a labrum in the shoulder. That's going to take some time for him to get his strength back when you look at Kyle Long.
Yeah, the entire offseason for Kyle Long is going to be spent on getting his body right. So the last thing you want is to take a guy who's trying to get his body right and then make him switch positions and try to play a position that he's never played at the NFL level.
Right, but getting your body right is making sure that you create the foundation so now you can start adding strength. And that's going to be a two-tiered struggle for Kyle Long, is making sure you get the mobility in the ankle, you get the strength in the shoulder, but then you get the strength in the body that allows you to compete at an NFL level.
The other thing that is puzzling to me is I know they drafted Hronis Grasu, and I know that Jay Cutler liked Hronis Grasu before he tore his ACL, but Cody Whitehair had a really good season playing center. Do you want to move a guy who played that well in year one when it took him, all he had was a week to learn the position, but he took to it?
But Hronis is only a center, and Cody Whitehair can play any position on the offensive line. And again, I always refer back to Bruce Matthews, who came from my era. Bruce Matthews was an extremely talented offensive line that whenever the team needed him and where they needed him the most, he could fit into that position. And I think that is the luxury they have with a guy like Cody Whitehair.
312-644-6767 is the phone number, talking about the best way to go about constructing the 2017 Bears. Justin is in Plainfield. Justin, you're on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to make two quick points. First, regarding Alshon, in what to me was a prove-it season after the injury-prone season he had 2 years ago. He didn't work out with the team in the offseason, which I think rubbed the team the wrong way, and then he took PEDs, which is so it's hard to know how he stayed healthy, and he really didn't dominate. So there's no way the Bears can pay him what I think he's going to get on the open market. And then regarding the draft, I guess it depends on what they do with Garoppolo. They obviously need a quarterback, but I think the position outside of quarterback the Bears have needed the most is, since Mike Brown, they have not had a safety. And so whether it's Jamal Adams or Malik Hooker, I would love to see them go there at three. And you guys have a good night. Thanks.
Yeah, I didn't bring up Hooker out of Ohio State. He is highly regarded. I think Adams is really the player, though. The kid from LSU, to me, he is the real deal at the safety position.
Jim, I see him in some mock drafts. I'm talking about Adams out of LSU, that he would, in some considerations, the number one player in the draft. In different guys have different evaluations throughout the whole process, and it'll change, tenfold after the combine too. But when you look at a player as talented as Adams, and you look at, the intelligence that you need to play that position, especially at the next level outside of a big college program like LSU, that is the guy and the player that stands out. What's the difference between Adams and the Ohio State player?
Malik Hooker.
Yeah, Hooker is probably considered more of a scoring threat. Let's say if he takes a pick, he can score. I mean, he is a tremendous athlete out of Ohio State. I think he's dealing with an injury now that he's going to have to clean up, and that's what the NFL combine is for. But he's a threat every time he touches the ball. Plus, he has the ability to really, just the speed to wrap up and make tackles. And that's not saying that Adams can't do that. I think Adams is every bit as good as Malik Hooker, and I think he's bigger in stature in terms of, stopping the run and things like that. But Hooker is probably the better athlete out of Ohio State.
Man, a lot. You guys just opened up a whole bunch of new questions in regards to what the Bears should do, because we have not seen a safety go in the top five in the NFL draft since, what, Eric Berry back in 2010?
Eric Berry, Tennessee.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we've seen that happen. That's number one.
Well, good is good.
Well, number two is this. You know, he mentioned Garoppolo. Now, if you want Jimmy Garoppolo and you really feel like this guy's the answer, you're going to be trading a ton of picks to get this guy because he's not going to come cheap, and that's going to affect your ability to rebuild that defense. We're going to discuss next, what do you guys think the Bears should do? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Bears All Access rolls on with Zaidman, Thayer, and Miller on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. This week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. Nick Kwiatkowski takes the hot seat for Big Guys in Compact Cars. Spice and Lauren host a watch party at Soldier Field with Brian Urlacher. And the Bears help make a family's wish come true. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. And remember, you can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. Hey, by the way, speaking of Urlacher, guys, next year he'll be eligible to go into the Hall of Fame for the first time. There are a lot of big-time players that are going to be in that class, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss. Jim, you're the only guy here who played with him. Is he a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer?
I believe that. And, you know, I know I'm biased, but he was without a doubt one of the greatest athletes I've ever played with. His numbers are deserving of it. But, you know, you never know with these Hall of Fame voters. You see what's going on with Terrell Owens right now that I thought he should have gotten in last year. I mean, it becomes so political, and now they're voting on things they shouldn't be voting on. But I personally believe Brian should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree, because I remember the initial argument was because he and Ray Lewis came out the same year, would you vote them both in the Hall of Fame the same year? I had voted in Brian Urlacher and make Ray Lewis wait. And I know
agree.
Ray, and I know that, I mean, that's, you know, I think, you know, Ray Lewis, he had a great NFL career, but I think Brian Urlacher, what he did for the position, what he did during his time in the NFL at his size, his speed, his commitment to the game, I think that Brian better have the right to go in and have first ballot as much as Ray Lewis and as much as in Randy Moss's consideration.
You look at the numbers, and I've gotten in arguments over this with people on the airways. When Greg Blash and Dick Duran and everybody, you know, when they drafted Brian, fine, safety, they convert to outside linebacker. Barry Minner gets hurt, and he gets thrown in at middle backer, and the guy's just making plays all over the field. But then the transition to Lovie Smith, people don't realize that Tampa 2 defense, everything is geared to funnel to the Will linebacker. So when they drafted Lance Briggs, Bryant, like from the three technique and the D-line, the way the middle linebackers expect to play, everything is geared to funnel towards the weak side linebacker to make the plays, i.e. Derek Brooks, right?
Yes.
The Tampa Bay Bucks.
And basically the idea early on, and Jim, you said it perfectly, early on in Brian's career, because he had Ted Washington and Keith Traylor and the defense was different, you know, those two guys holding everybody, it allowed you to see the pure athleticism. And had he played in that style of defense for his entire career, he probably would have had the same type of numbers that Ray Lewis had. But when you play cover two, you're asking the guy to drop back into coverage as the middle linebacker, almost like an extra safety, before then deciding what to do. So you're not going to have the sexy numbers that some of these people that vote on the Hall of Famers look for.
But yet he did. He had game-changing plays, interceptions. He's down the field covering and what he was asked to do. And, you know, for a guy as big as what Brian is, to have the recovery speed. I remember when it was our first up in Platteville when Brian was there. He literally, it was a 134 all-go. Okay, what's called. So it's a play-action pass. We're faking the lead play, all go. So tight end takes the middle. Outside Z runs a go route. Your X running a go route, and then the backs kind of just shore up and check down protection to cover. So Brian comes up, blasts the fullback. So I'm thinking, huh, I got my tight end right wide open. Right down the and then he literally blasts the fullback and then starts dropping back in coverage. And because he's, you know, a 6'4 guy, and then you factor in his wingspan, Brian got 12 yards down the field and batted that ball down. And I was like, whoa. That was the craziest thing. I'd never seen any linebacker be able to do that, ever. And he had that type of recovery speed. And I bring it up all the time when we played the Atlanta Falcons. We went down there. Michael Vick, what is he, 4'3", 4'2.5 guy? Brian hawked him. And I just remember Michael Vick. It was funny. We were all laughing on the sidelines because Michael Vick's like, who the hell got me? Brian just dragged him. You know, he picked him up after he tackled him. He hawked him, tackled him, then just got him and threw down his shoe because he took off his shoe and just like, dude, you're a chump. And Michael Vick couldn't believe it. He was just like, there is no way this dude just caught me. And Brian did.
And unlike T.O., you're not going to hear a single one of Brian Urlacher's former teammates ever criticize the type of leader
Great
he was.
Teammate.
This guy was everything that you want in a teammate. And I have a feeling that over the next year, you're going to hear from a lot of his former teammates when this topic comes up about just all the great things he did for teammates behind the scenes. You know, he wasn't the kind of speech giver that Ray Lewis was, but he was definitely the type of guy who resonated inside that Bears locker room. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zaidman, Theron, Miller with you. We're talking about what's the best way to go about constructing the 2017 Bears. Out to the phones we go. Garrett in Lafayette, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What I was wondering is there very often a trade of a pick as high as theirs with enough time before the draft? I know it's happened a couple times when big-time quarterbacks are involved, but in this particular draft, there aren't a whole lot of them. It just seems like there would be so much opened up to them with how many needs they have to be able to trade down in the draft and options that may not be there on draft night. In for instance, if they're able to trade down in the first round and maybe spin that for a Garoppolo or not, and get there. It just seems like there's a ton of quality defensive players, and the more picks you have, the better it is. That's just my opinion. But what are the chances that they're able to trade it in enough time to pull triggers before other teams do?
Jim, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about is playing money ball, right? That's i.e. what the Cleveland Browns did last year. All 14 of their draft picks made that team. Are they any better off? They were 1-15. They passed up Carson Wentz. You just nailed it right there. So what quarterback this year, coming out in this year's draft, is better than Carson Wentz? There isn't one. From what I'm hearing, Mitch Trubisky is going to be the top quarterback. Watson, none of them are worthy in going into the top 10. Not one of these quarterbacks, but they will. Watson, I think, who was it the other day? Mel Kiper had Watson going to 10. I think that's way too high for Deshaun Watson. If you don't believe me, go look at all his interceptions and his decision-making. That would scare the hell out of me to draft that guy. But Garoppolo, if he were in this year's draft, would be the best quarterback. Now, would you say swap picks, say New England? You know, say you'd say, hey, yeah, fine. When's New England ever picked in the top 10? Never, because they win, right? They're always picking 31, 32. That's where they're always picking.
And they make the correct decisions with those picks more often than not. I think that's something that can't be overlooked.
Putting a good player on a good team helps them be good a lot faster. You take a great player and put him on a really bad team, he may never grow into anything.
Absolutely agree. But I also think you have to give them credit for the moves that they make. They make smart moves. For example, Listen, the guy, I mean, you look at Hogan, the wide receiver, the former lacrosse player. He bounced around four different teams in the NFL, had an opportunity to make this guy something. They couldn't. New England did.
All right, but getting back to Garrett's question, would you be okay trading the third pick for more picks?
If those guys believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy and they could work out, say, hey, we'll take your 32. You move up to 3. New England, I think, would love to have a pass rusher, which would be available there at number 3. You get Jimmy Garoppolo and you still have a first-round pick to, say, get a safety even down at 32, or maybe you can then trade down into the second round, maybe get that OB Melifonwu, who I mentioned, the safety out of Connecticut, or the Bears got to ask themselves, hey, we are going to be committed to build our defense. We believe we can get a quarterback who's a good decision-maker, like an Alex Smith, who has been in the playoffs the last 3 out of 4 years, I believe, and he's not a world beater. He just doesn't turn over the football. So that's what they have to identify. And then maybe you take Malik Hooker, who's got the ball skills that you're talking about, out of Ohio State to get the turnovers you need on defense to get with a good decision maker on offense. So I think they're exploring all those things right now. I don't think anything is out of the equation for what Ryan Pace and John Fox want to do.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. What would you do if you were Ryan Pace in regards to best constructing the 2017 Bears. Naperville, Jeff, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys, good to be on. Yeah, I think you got to stick with the defense on this one. I mean, I think we've had the most production there this year, and I think we got to build around that. I think you got to intimidate these teams coming up against us. We had some close games, and I think the best way to stay in it is to keep it close. So I think we got to strengthen up that D, and I don't think we're ready for much on that offense until we get something going good. I think we just focus on that strong defense right now.
You know, Jim, one thing that's funny is the outside looking in, you know, because we're around the Bears a lot and you think that there is such a need for safety considering how they're going to win the division against the quarterbacks they play it. But then when you look at a lot of the other mock drafts, a lot of them keep bringing up Jonathan Allen. Yeah. Where are you in between those two players? Is it something that one of these two players is so much better than the other that there is an obvious pick, Jonathan Allen, the defensive lineman from Alabama, or the safety from LSU?
He's a dominant run defender. He can play multiple positions on your defensive line. That's why a lot of people like he can fit 3-4, 4-3. It doesn't matter. The guy can do everything. He's strong. He's a very good pass rusher, violent player. Dominating run defender is what I'd say about Jonathan Allen. You know, but he's going to probably play more inside than outside. Maybe the Bears would play him outside, but bottom line is that's what he's built for, to stop the run. And, you know, with where they've drafted and signing guys like Akeem Hicks, I don't know if that's really the need of priority right now. Do I think they, you know, if he's there, yeah, I think he's a hard player to pass up at three. But, you know, you look at those other guys and where they're rated. Jamal Adams is actually rated ahead of the safety from LSU than Jonathan Allen. I think Marshawn Lattimore, the corner from Ohio State, he's rated ahead of him. Malik Hooker, who we mentioned from Ohio State, he's rated ahead of him. Miles Garrett, clearly, I think everybody has him solidified as the number one pick. But see, I'm with you. Look at all these playoff teams last year. Let's just go through. Oakland Raiders, playoff team, right? Plus 16 turnover ratio. Look at, there's another team, Kansas City, plus 16. Look at the two Super Bowl teams, plus 11, plus 12. These are the top teams in turnovers. You got to get those turnovers, and the Bears can't get it. That was a
staple for a decade. Right. For a decade for the Bears.
Think of Houston before J.J. Watt got hurt.
No, but think about it. We just spent the beginning of the segment talking about Brian Urlacher, the impact plays that he would make that led to the takeaways, that gave the Bears extra opportunities on offense, and they had winning records throughout that time without the elite quarterback. If you can't find an elite quarterback, the best way to put yourself in a position where you can compete for division titles, playoffs, and championships is by making sure that you take the ball away and make impact plays on defense.
Baltimore Ravens.
And that, to me, is unless you can, beyond a shadow of a doubt, tell me that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be an elite guy, if you can't for certain say that, then I don't want to give up those picks. I would rather work on finding the impact players defensively and start rebuilding this roster the way it needs to be built. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. What do you guys think? Your phone calls are next. Zaidman, Thayer, Miller, Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year long. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We've had some fascinating discussions this hour about what's the best way to go about rebuilding the 2017 Bears and putting this team in a position where the arrow starts pointing up and you feel like they're going in the right direction based on what they were able to do in the draft last year. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. What do you think? Downers Grove, Jeff, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I was thinking, similar to the caller before, about trading down into maybe the teams, not necessarily trading with New England to get Garoppolo, because you're going to give up a lot more than just pick number three for that kid. They're going to hold him ransom for all that they can get. But trading to the teams, still get your defensive player, whether it's safety, corner. There's a lot of defensive backs that could go in the first round and maybe pick up another late second, third, or more picks. There's just so many holes on that defense that they got a lot to fill, could use a few more and still get a solid first rounder. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Well, I'll take this one because, I mean, here we're all assuming that New England is just going to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, here's the things that depend on it. It's what they feel about their other young quarterback there in New England.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, they just drafted Jacoby Brissett, North Carolina State kid. And all indicators are they like him, right? But, you know, we still don't know. It could be that New England may not want to trade him till the end of training camp. And why do I say that? Hey, they get to look at him more, see him develop, those type of things. And we all assume that it's going to be a draft day trade because what's going to come with it is probably a new contract for Jimmy Garoppolo. That has to be in place as well. So not only are you talking to the club, you're talking to Jimmy Garoppolo's representation because we all assume if you're going to give up that compensation, he's your starter. Well, guess what? Jimmy Garoppolo ain't coming to play for the league minimum or what he was drafted for in the second round. So I think it, you know, there's a lot of things that are involved there that, you know, that have to be cleared up first. We just all assume it's going to happen, and it may happen, but there's a lot of things that have to come together to make that trade work.
One of the things I do agree with the caller, Jeff, is if you could trade down and you get multiple picks and you can put them on the defensive side of the ball, because my biggest concern, like Jim said, is the financial commitment that you'd have to make to a guy like Garoppolo.
But more often than not, someone who's going to trade up and want that number three pick that the Bears currently hold, you're only going to do it generally if there's a quarterback that you feel is worth giving up the ransom of picks that you're going to have to give up in order to get that guy. And if that quarterback was that good at three, then the Bears would take him.
Right.
So I don't see that as being a realistic option, in my opinion. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Naperville, AJ, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Zach. Really appreciate it. Great show. I wanted to run a couple of thoughts by you, kind of going off of what Jim said earlier. You know, at number three, if you're looking to draft a quarterback, you know, you do have that cost control option for 5 years, compared to, you know, getting somebody like a Jimmy Garoppolo. You're probably looking at a contract similar to Brock Osweiler in the $80, $90 million range. So I wanted to get your opinions on, you know, particularly from Jim on DeShone Kizer. You know, here's a guy who's 6'4", about 230, kind of in the mold of a Jameis Winston, who was kind of taking a step back last year because of the way Notre Dame's system was running. That whole system was a complete mess. So I wanted to see what you thought about him, about the Bears taking him at three, and, you know, just trying to control their costs and building their future on the team through the draft. I'll listen. I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
For Kizer, I am not a fan of DeShone Kizer, and that's nothing against the young man. I'm sure he's a great kid and all those things, but, you know, he really fell off for Notre Dame. I mean, that's the Navy game I was watching. They lost to Navy. I think he's got a very good arm, but I think I guess I would question his commitment, and here's why I say that. I don't like how he carries out fakes. I don't like the lackadaisical drops. It's just there's no sense of urgency with him. You know, I need to talk to him personally just to see where his head is at, how he's being taught, those type of things. Because, again, he's a raw player that offense at Notre Dame is not going to transition well to the National Football League. And if he's undisciplined in that offense, how disciplined is he going to be in a true NFL offense? So that's just what I've noticed watching him personally. I like his arm, though. I will say that. He's a raw player that does have skills that can be developed, but he is not ready to play right away.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question. You come back to the sideline, and you come back to that red-faced Brian Kelly every time that you make any type of mistake. Do you think that factors in the emotional side of the game for a quarterback specifically?
You're right. Well, I think that's a part of it, too, is where is his mental toughness? Can he take tough coaching? Maybe he's not a kid who can do that. You know,
well, he also lost some NFL weapons from his first year to last year.
Right.
I mean, CJ Procise went to Seattle. Will Fuller ended up going to Houston.
Right.
They lost a lot.
Well, yeah, but the same guy was still on the sideline. And that's I'm talking about the emotional impact of the coach in the sideline against a quarterback. I mean, a position I think that you have to kind of treat with kid gloves.
Maybe. You know, I don't know that about the young man. You know, that's, again, that's the fact-finding mission we're trying to find out. I do think this, mental toughness better be a part of your mental makeup to play in the NFL or it you know, the league will chew you up and spit you out, especially at that position. Remember, say Rex Grossman, he felt vilified in Chicago by the media. Got to be able to deal with it. Criticism's going to come from everywhere, and you got to have thick skin at that position.
And I think the thing that's coming across just listening to Jim talk, none of these quarterbacks that could go 1, 2, or 3 here, none of these quarterbacks are ready to immediately contribute in the NFL.
Right.
Well, I have a question about that after the break.
All right, and we'll take your questions as well at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. Bears All Access with Thayer Miller and Zaidman rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. It's the best way to go about constructing the 2017 offseason to put the Bears in a position to move to that next step as a franchise. And I know, Tom, you've got a lot of questions.
I got a quarterback question for a quarterback, Jim Miller. You know, Jim, when I think about the success of the Dallas Cowboys this year, it's because of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. When I look at the future success of the Bears, and I think of having Jordan Howard, Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey, the offensive line they have, the production of the running game, that's already in place. Is Deshaun Watson a better quarterback than Dak Prescott was coming out of college? Because I still like Deshaun Watson. And where do you think those two are comparatively at the end of their college careers?
Well, obviously, you know, much higher scale when you look at Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's been in the two biggest games you could have, and one he lost and the other one he won. And he played extremely well, especially after that big hit that he took in the national championship game. There's a lot to like about Deshaun Watson. I would say that about Kaiser, too, because I think they have the tools, but it's going to take time. You know, that's it. See, when I look at guys like Watson and Kaiser, you know who, because we just talked about Kaiser, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Josh Freeman from K-State. So, not worthy of a top 10, but maybe you trade to the top teens, you know, in the 18, 16, something like that, knowing that that's a guy you can still take in the first round that you know you're going to have to develop. Because that's how I looked at Josh Freeman, who's now out of the league. He is out of the league, but he did have, what, 10-game winning streak
down there in Tampa? People say that he flamed out because he didn't have the work ethic that you need to be successful at the positions.
But he was raw coming out of K-State, and you're right, the work ethic, it's got to be there. I mean, I say it all the time, you got to eat, breathe, and sleep that position, and you're going to have to find out about these guys. Are they willing to do that? You know, because you better be all in if you make that selection, and it's got to be the right one.
Yeah, and no one did that more than Peyton Manning during his career and Tom Brady throughout his career. And if I hear one more person tell me, well, you know what, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's been around Tom Brady, I'm sure all of that has sunk in. Well, you know what, Brock Osweiler spent the majority of his pre-Texan career with Peyton Manning. It didn't do him squat last year when he finally got his opportunity with Houston.
How did Ryan Mallett's discipline work out? He was in New England.
Hey, Vince Young hired an agent today.
At least Steinbrück's trying to get him a look in the CFL. And you made a great point. Tom and I were talking about this during the break. You know what? If these backups that have been around the elite quarterbacks were so good, how come none of Dan Marino's backups became great players?
Why didn't you sign Gary Kubiak after sat around John Elway for 8 years?
312-644-6767. James in Flossmoor, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, James.
Thanks for taking my call. In my personal opinion, I don't think the Bears should worry about the quarterback position this offseason, really, unless something falls in their lap. I think at number 3, you take the best defensive player available. Or if you're going to trade down, maybe, I believe Tennessee Titans have 2 first-round picks. See if you can get a Mike or a Williams out of the wide receiver out of Clemson, I think he is, and then take another defensive player later on in the first round and just kind of construct around that way. I don't think Matt Barkley or Jay Cutler are huge risks for the money that you're going to pay them this season, and then you can kind of worry about the quarterback later. I think any of these 3 quarterbacks they project to go in the first round are going to be huge reaches to worry about those right now. That's just what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think you bring up good points. You know, again, what do you guys consider Alex Smith? That, to me, that guy gets thrown under the bus more than any other quarterback. But I hate to say it, I mean, everybody hates the label game manager. It's every quarterback's job is to manage a game. Even Tom Brady acknowledged he didn't manage the Super Bowl well, throwing the pick six. He said he played horrible the first half. But Alex Smith, to me, that guy does not lose you games. So if you got a good defense that gets, you know, they're plus 16 in turnover margin, good running game with Charkandrick West, the tight end that they have, and now they've got emerging weapons at wide receiver. Alex Smith has gone to the playoffs three times in Kansas City, once in he took the team to the NFC Championship game for the San Francisco 49ers. People can bang on Alex Smith all they want. That dude just wins games.
You know what, Jim? What haunts Alex Smith is Aaron Rodgers. Is because of picking Alex Smith first in that draft, yep, and Aaron Rodgers sliding the way he did. And
you're right.
You know, that's the biggest haunting thing to him.
Agree completely. But that guy wins games, and he is not making the costly decision that loses you a game, i.e. the turnovers, pick sixes, fumbles. He is just smart. You need somebody to do that for the Chicago Bears. Now, whether that's Jay Cutler, it may be the route the Bears go, because if they don't feel worthy of any of those quarterbacks, why not? You already got Jay under contract. He's physically probably better than all of them to begin with, but you got to curtail the turnovers. Those are killers. So if you got a great defense, the running game, the play action, you know, you don't turn it over, the Bears will be just fine. They just need to find somebody to manage that position. Under Adam Gase, I think we'd all take that, Jay Cutler, any day of the week and twice on Sunday. He was very efficient under Adam Gase as a play caller. Now the injury bug and those type of things have been problematic for Jay.
Dallas got that guy. Wasn't Dak Prescott the type of quarterback Jim just talked about? Didn't turn it over, made the smart decisions, took advantage of what was available and the weapons around him.
And you got the running game. I think that's one of the most important elements of success of any quarterback, is making sure you have that reliable running game that you can count on and teams have to be aware of.
Now, the Bears proved that they had the running game. I don't know that they committed to it as much as they should have. And I always go back and, you know, we have to wrap up the show, but you really learn if a team's committed to the run when it's 2nd and 10. Are you still running the football? When the other team scores the touchdown first and you're down 7-0 early, do you still run the football?
Well, that is the mentality of most running teams, is you want to run the ball in 2nd and 10, and hopefully you can get into that 3rd and 6 to 4 range where it gives you a better opportunity to protect and make the completion.
Guys, we have to say goodbye. We've hit the end of the hour, but we're going to have this. We'll continue this conversation next week. It'll be our final show before the start of the NFL Scouting Combine, and then we'll join you from Indianapolis once the Combine takes place. A lot to discuss. For Jim Miller, thank you very much, and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, Tony Gill, and Joe Ostrowski, our guy Padge at Hallis Hall. Thanks for listening to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.